Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. As we just heard from Derek with regard to the Word of God, I would like to take you to this aspect of family, wherein the family is all about father and mother, I love you. In our life, at times, we know that there are a lot of things which matter to us a lot. But then one thing which is most important is the family. So this aspect is very important in our life with regard to Y-O-U. And when this you comes in our life, that's when Jesus also comes. Why do I say this is because an important aspect in our life, but many a times we forget about this aspect of you. The reason about that is we always focus on I, me, and myself. You know, some years back, I just saw some youth watching a movie called I, Me, and Myself. That's all about we. That is what matters in our life. I, me, and myself. And this is something which, in a way, brings us to a struggle. Why I say this is because when we consider ourselves as first, I, me, and myself, that is not what family life is all about. You see, there is a big confusion in our life. What is the confusion? The confusion is with regard to purpose and meaning. When we speak of purpose and meaning in our life, many a times we consider that is as equal to success, but it is not so. Purpose and meaning is not success. And for what do we consider success? Success at times in our life, we consider as accumulation of lot of wealth, accumulation of lot of material possessions. But then that is not what we are supposed to consider as success, my dear brothers and sisters, because what is success actually? Now, that is what I would like to speak to you on. You, this aspect of you is important. And you see, in this materialistic world, we live in a lot of materials around, which with money as the most important thing. And there is a beautiful picture which shows a child taking all the things around, grabbing for himself and saying, it's mine. And then there's another aspect wherein the boy is with only a little thing. And he's saying, that is also mine. Please give me that. So this materialistic world is a kind of a gravitational world. That is, we want to pull many things towards ourselves. And when we succeed in grabbing many things towards ourselves, then we consider that a success, which is not according to the scriptures. And why it happens in our life that we always tend to get more things? The more we get, the more happy we are. Is it that way? No. The thing is, because it comes right from our childhood. You know, I saw a photo with a boy and a girl getting a lot of things for themselves. When they get a lot of things, they keep it for themselves. The boy would not share his things to his, maybe his sister or a friend. The girl at the same time would accumulate a lot of things. And she too would not share with the boy. Now, if this is the case, it is very dangerous. And this is a kind of an inherent attitude in us right from our childhood. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this goes back to the time of Genesis chapter 1, when God created the world. It goes back right to a time of our forefathers and ancestral fathers, that is Adam and Eve. You know, at times in our life, when it comes to I, me, and myself, we want to get everything towards us. We want that gravitational force to be coming towards us. But when we make a mistake, when we commit some sin, when we do something wrong, then that becomes not a gravitational force, but that becomes a force of expulsion. That is, we point fingers and say, you are the cause of that. It is because of you that this had happened in my life. It's because of you that this has taken place in my life. My dear sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, Genesis chapter 3 verses 13 onwards, we read, and when God forbade Adam that fruit, and when Eve consumed that fruit, and Adam also consumed that fruit, when God asked, Adam pointed his fingers, you, the woman, and when it came to the woman's point of view, woman again pointed you, that is towards the snake. This is how happened. This is what happens in our life. You know, it's called as a curse, a great curse. When we need something, we grab it. When we commit a mistake, we point fingers. this is not the you that we are called for. The why that I am talking to you is on you. And this you is not I, me, and myself. But this you should be, my dear brothers and sisters, as I'll come forward in a very beautiful slide of Abraham Maslow's. You know, I see another picture wherein a man is having a lot of things, cars, bikes, washing machines, fridge, and he has made a heap of mountains, and he's standing on top of that. Yet he's thinking for himself, what should I do next? And he's not happy in his life. What is the purpose of gaining all this wealth? This is what Abraham Maslow says in his psychological thing. When we studied the philosophy, we were asked to give a small research, make a small research on this Abraham Maslow's pyramid. You know, there is a pyramid kind of a thing. And at the bottom of the pyramid, the pyramid is divided into five categories. At the bottom of the pyramid is called the psychological phase. In this phase, it is the need for food, the basic need of human beings, food, clothing, shelter. That is the psychological phase. Once this is completed in his life, he goes on to the next stage that is called for safety. What calls for safety is safety of shelter, protection, house, investments, and all these things, insurances. This comes to safety. When that is completed, then he goes on to the third stage called love. Love and belongingness. So he looks forward, he or she looks forward for a kind of a relationship which they can establish themselves, because they have got themselves the psychological phase and the safety phase covered. So now they go and look for relationships. Now, when you look for relationships, you know, there's a lot of hype with regard to the youth these days that they want to establish themselves first. And after establishing themselves first, be it they want to earn good salary, be it a boy or a girl, after earning, they find themselves that, okay, I have so much of money and then I can buy a house and then I get married. That is the phase. This is the third phase, love and belongingness. After that, he goes some more, the fourth phase of self-esteem. Very few people achieve this phase. He says that self-esteem is a phase wherein there's a need for power. There's a need for control. There is a need for recognition. Now, when these things are achieved, when you have recognized, when you have acceptance from others, when there is power within you, you are given a good task and you are given a good post, your self-esteem grows high. See, this all comes with I, me, and myself. Again, remember, I'm giving you a background of how we are going about in our lives. This self-esteem stage is the fourth stage wherein we gain power. After gaining power, he says, after everything in life, he reaches the topmost part of the pyramid that is called as the self-actualization phase. This self-actualization phase is a phase wherein you realize yourself and you try to improve your goals. You try for creativity because you have achieved all the other phases. You're not hungry. You're safe with regard to all your bank balances, insurances, your family, everything of yours. Yours is safe. Your relationship is good. You're having good power at your place, workplace. And now you go for self-actualization. This is what Abraham Maslow's pyramid teaches. And when I reflected on this, another aspect came to my mind, and that aspect is of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. It's why is this Abraham Maslow's phase important? Because it always focuses on I, me, and myself, and that's what all that matters. But Jesus, 2020 years ago, is a great psychologist, and he gave us a beautiful example of how we need in our lives to go about that you pyramid. And how he did that, the first day after Pentecost, the normal cycle of the liturgical calendar, if you had attended the mass on Monday after Pentecost, it begins in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. That is the Beatitudes. Jesus is a most basic person. Like he is with us and he knows everything about us. That's what beautifully he speaks of the Beatitudes. Now, there's a great thing that happened, and that is something which struck me. What struck me? You see, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, when Jesus proclaims to people around, what happens? A lot of people come to him. And why do people come to him? People came to Jesus in the beginning because they considered Jesus as a miracle worker. They considered Jesus as someone who would heal them of their sicknesses, who will grant their favors. That's why basically people came to Jesus. But then, when people came for a miracle, Jesus on the mountain begins by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God." He says, "Blessed are the hungry person. Blessed are those who are merciful." He says about these things. And he said, "Blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are the." And after hearing this, people are utterly disappointed. How do you think people's reaction would be? They come for something, we want so many things, and here is a person who's saying, "Leave all your things." And then a marvelous teaching over there. And that's why he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of God." What does Jesus mean by that? He says, do not depend on yourself. Depend on God for everything and live a simple and obedient life. Not accumulating things only for yourself. I, me, and myself. No, but it is for you. It is for others. Second one, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, when we mourn is when we lose somebody, but are those times we are comforted? No, we are asked to mourn the times when we sin, when we do wrong things. That is the time when we are asked to mourn. And God, Jesus has asked us to grieve on those times. And the blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's asking us to be humble and gentle. What will you achieve after greeting great things? Jesus who has given us, God who has blessed us, blessed you with plenty, in a moment of time, he can just make you collapse. That's what you do. Be humble, be gentle. Don't fight for your own advantage, but rather for somebody who, for others. The fourth one, the blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, this time, especially in our country, you know what things are happening around us. But God, Jesus is telling us, we need to always stand for justice and fairness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. God is asking us to be kind, to be forgiving, to be generous. And that's how it goes on the Beatitude. Now you consider, take all the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the cause of righteousness. This is the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus trying to say? Is Jesus telling about you? That's about all the Beatitudes speaking about myself? No. Is it about you? No. It is about the other. It is about the other you. This important, my dear brothers and sisters. We might have heard of this beautiful hymn, you know, "It's All About You." It's all about you, Jesus. There's nothing about me. It's beautiful hymn, you know. It's all about you, my Lord. It's nothing about me. This you, Jesus, is a face on earth now, my dear brothers and sisters, in the people around us. Jesus rose again and went back to his Father in heaven. But then he has given that person in the face of other things. Now there is a big choice for us, whether we do, or whether our choices are good or whether choices are bad. You know, again, I come back to Genesis chapter, the first book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, verses 17. God has given us a lot of choices in our life, you know, plenty. Plenty of choices. The first command of God, in spite of all the choices, is to Adam. When he created the beautiful earth, he said, "I give everything to you, but except for you not to eat of the forbidden tree, the fruit over there." And you know, the very first commandment of God the Father is broken by Adam. And then, as I said earlier, he points the finger. God is a God of choices. He gives a lot of choices to you and me. Now, it is up to us on how we take our choices. That's what it said. There are three basic wants in life. W-A-N-T-S. Three basic wants in life. What are the three basic wants for us? The first want is food. Of course, that's what Jesus also did in his time. When he saw the people hungry, he fed them. John chapters 5 and 6, we see that. Feeding of the multitude. Second is acceptance. we want people to accept us. You know, we want people to accept us. And then once a person accepts us, we go and mingle with them. We become a friend of that person. And then there is nobody around us who can come into that circle. If somebody doesn't accept you, you would not even dare to go near that person. But if somebody accepts us, we would always like to be with that person. There is acceptance. What about Jesus? Jesus was a friend of sinners, tax collectors, and everybody. People whom the world rejected, Jesus accepted. That's what we are also called to do in our life. I'll come later on how we need to do that. And the third thing, an important thing, is a meaning in this earth. That's, if you take all the three, it is fame, F-A-M-E, food, acceptance, meaning in earth. Fame. Are we living for fame on this earth? That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33. First things first. Now, what is the first thing in our life? Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious of your food. Jesus says, do not worry of what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, because God will give you at an appropriate time. When we read Matthew chapter 6, we'll do very beautifully. That's the first thing. Do not worry of your food. I know of a person, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, a person who is a kind of well settled now and who donates a lot to people who are in need. And a person pays around 7,20,000 as tax to the government of India. That means imagine how much his earning would be. 7,20,000 is 30%. So his earning would be around 35 lakhs, 36 lakhs. A simple person doesn't want anybody to know anything, and nobody knows. And what he does with that money, he just helps people who are in need, people who want. And God is blessing him abundantly more and more. He says, when I started, I had nothing in my life. I earned 10 rupees, 100 rupees. I was on my streets. I started giving that to others. Food, struggling for food. I started sharing with whatever I had with others. And then reached this level. You might be thinking, yeah, I'm earning some 3 lakhs. I can give 1 lakh to the church. Who does that? I'm asking, who does that? If somebody's earning 3 lakhs, who gives 1 lakh to the church every month? Blessed are those. Jesus is telling, it's not only to the church, but anybody in hell. That is what is about you. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. This is the first things first. Put the first things first. Matthew chapter 3, verses 31 to 33. All these things you read in that. Second thing is about acceptance. If you are attending today's mass, in again, the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is a very beautiful thing, I tell you. Practical, very practical. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. Jesus speaks about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. You know, some people are there among us that they want to give more, but at the same time, they want recognition. I know that sometimes as priests, we are during the mass, I'm not in the parish, but if parish priest forgets to announce the name of a donor for something, the person comes and argues, Father, I have given so much and you have not yet announced your name. He said, what is the point in giving? That's what Jesus said. What your right hand is giving, let your left hand not know that. Mother Teresa, you know, very beautiful saying, familiar saying is, give, give, give until it hurts. I remember a time in my life, you know, when I was a seminarian, I used to get, we get hardly any money at that time, you know, around 250 rupees, something pocket money. Every Sunday we used to go to the parish and we used to sit in group. All the brothers, the seminarians would sit in a group. And you observe quite carefully, whenever the dumb box passes through any religious, nobody will donate. That's something very strange. Of course, we don't have much, but yet hardly anybody. So what happened? The practice was that in the front five pews, the religious would sit, the brothers, the nuns and all those people. And the dumb box would not go to that end. The dumb box will go next for the collection. Why is that? And suddenly once I got up and I put 5 rupee coin in that. I had called that person, excuse me, when the person was going back to the altar. I just dropped a 5 rupee coin in that. That's what I had. But after that, after going home, I felt so happy. because I donated 5 rupees, only 5 rupees, nothing. But out of whatever I had, a little, I was so happy, so joyful. Not that I have big cars and other things, the little 5 rupee thing. And then that 5 rupee turned to 10 rupees. And then I thought to myself, whatever I receive, 10%, of course it is coming back to the church, but that is an offering to God. That is what I consider myself. Let me be accepted, not in the sight of others, but I want to be accepted in the sight of God the Father. I want to be accepted in the sight of Jesus. That's what, put first things first. This is, seek first the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. It's not you need to be accepted before a group of people, before your parish, you need to be acknowledged. No. What is the use? You're being accepted before the parish, before the people, wherever in the workplaces, because of your deeds coming in front and not being accepted to with God. Then hold your life from hero becomes hero. My dear sisters and brothers, that's what we need to do in our life is to decide the good things that I'm supposed to do. Again, there are 3 points for us to reflect with regard to money, with regard to time, and with regard to talents. It's like MTT. How do we use our money properly, or our property or our resources properly? How do we use our time properly? Third, how do we use our energies properly? And where do we start it from? We started right from our families. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we started right from our families. See, F-A-M-I-L-Y, father and mother, I love you. Not father and mother, I love myself. It doesn't become family. Father and mother, I love you. So that you is father and mother. It can be others, and if it can be our children, it can be everybody. But there is a danger over there. That you can be your family members. But if that you, that the members of your family, becomes mine, that is like my family, my, then that my is a grave danger. It's danger just like I, me, and myself. That should not be the case. Help your family member. But at the same time, the second part, from the family of yours, the family of the wider circle should open. That is the family outside, the other family. And who are the other family? Beautifully, in the word of God, we read 3 people, the poor, the widow, and the orphan. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. Beautifully, it says, thus says the Lord, bring out true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another, and do not oppress the widow, fatherless, and the sojourner or the poor against one another in your heart. Again, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17, it says, if anyone has to do good in this world, close your heart and help your brother in need. God, who sees that, will bless you abundantly. That's what ultimately it comes to. Matthew chapter 25, 40. Whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do it unto me. God will be happy with that, my dear brothers and sisters, because Jesus, who sees this, that you're helping nature, the other, the you is not the I, me, and myself, but the you is the other, from the family to the outside world, God will really bless you. Now, I end with the 3 faults in our life. What happens practically in our life? Think of the use of money. Now, I'll give you a practical example that happened in my life. It's a little sad, but yet I would like to share that, because if somebody is touched with it, I'll be really happy. You know, it is with my own family. I'm the only child. I have my father and mother. My father passed away some years back. And then what happened in my father's life? My father was earning good bucks in Kuwait. And then in Kuwait, when I completed my 12th, I wrote a mail to my father, that Daddy, I'm going to become a priest. And then he said, okay, become a priest. He asked me, don't become a priest, but become, can you become a bishop? But my father didn't know that. Now, that is not the thing over there. The thing is, I joined the seminary years past. But my father, immediately as soon as I joined the seminary, he left everything there. I don't know what happened to him. He left everything there. After leaving everything, he came as a simple man to India and started living his life without knowing what is the purpose of his life. Because he was earning everything for myself, that is for me, for his son, Cyril, and for his wife. But after I joined the seminary, like, what is the use of my money? What is the use that I have to earn everything? The purpose is lost. If the purpose would have been, and afterwards he squandered all the money in this living, and then finally he died. It's very sad. But then if he would have known that, okay, my son has gone to become a priest, yet I can give a lot of my things to others, who knows, God would have kept him alive or he would have been alive. This is what happens in our life. The use of money, what happens if something happens in your family? Of all the things that you have earned and kept, where will it go? This is what is important. We spend a lot on bread for the belly, but we spend less on the bread for life. That's the bread of life. Great on the bread of belly, but not on the bread of life. On clothing, but not on spiritual clothing. That is the church. We need to clothe the church, my dear brothers and sisters, with the money that we have, with the resources that we have. Third, on the houses to protect. Beautiful houses. Everybody wants a dream house in Bombay. Dream house. Yeah, it's very expensive. But a dream house is a dream for many of them. For what? To protect you from the harm of the evil one or the enemy or storms, whatever is that. But who will protect you from the evil one? The third, we get vehicles to go from one place to another. Though I know sometimes in Bombay, it's very difficult to park the vehicles in metropolitan cities. Yet people want cars. Yeah, it's okay. It's up to you. But then you want a car, a vehicle to go from one place to the other. But we live on the vehicle that takes us from earth to heaven. And the last one, we spend a lot on entertainment. We spend a lot on going about, spending a lot of money, the hotels, pubs, many places, drinks, smoking, which causes us joy for a short moment, for a temporary cause. But then what about the eternal joy? The second aspect of using the time. Think of the use of your time. You spend a lot of time in making a living for you and your family, if at all. Some people nowadays don't even bother with their family. It's always I. And what about not spending on making a life of another? Spend a lot of time on mobile, not on the word of God. Spend a lot of time on gossip, but not on spreading positivity and positiveness. We spend a lot of time on food and not on the vehicle, and especially on our food, but not of feeding the hungry. That is how we fall, my dear brothers and sisters. The final thing is the use of our talents. Think of the time, and God has given you many, many talents, but how do you use it? We spend a lot of time on personal gratification. That is, we want something, and then when we get it, oh, we are so glorified, gratified. It becomes nice, but not on the Lord and others. For example, a doctor treats a patient, and when a doctor treats a patient, it's like, I treated the patient and the patient became well. No. It is the patient became well because I treated it, or God has sealed him for God's glory. This is how we need to change our lives. That you should not become from I, should not be I, me, myself, but then it should change to you. I end with this beautiful quote. In our lives, sometimes we miss putting first. We miss putting the other first. What happens is that we are minoring in the majors. We minor the majors and we major the minor. That's what I end with saying. Stop majoring the minors. Start majoring the major thing, that is Jesus Christ and the other. The choice is yours, my dear sisters and brothers. There are 2 hours for you to ponder upon. I leave with this question for you. 2 hours. One is to reevaluate your lives on where you are placed. How you look at yourselves, how you look at your families, and find for yourself, what is the most important thing for me in my life to do? And after this, readjust it, starting with your family. Once your family is, go to the other, extend the family to the wider, and believe me, God will bless you, because you, your family, and Jesus Christ, the other extended family, is being blessed by God. The blessings come upon you, you to your family, and from the family to the people outside. With this, my dear brothers and sisters, I leave you with this thought as we take a moment of silence, and then we shall proceed into the praise and worship and the healing service. Amen.